We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in once again to the Refresh radio program here on July the 4th, Independence Day, the day that we celebrate our freedom here in America. And I pray that you are having a great day. I'm sure that many are not having to go to work like they normally do. And hopefully you're getting to spend some time with your family and friends, making memories. Don't just be sitting around on your phone all day or anything like that. Get out there and say, God, I know that you've got something good in store for today, and take life by the horns, if you will, to borrow an Oklahoma expression, and go out and make it a glorious day for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, by the way, my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. If this is the first time that you are ever tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM at this time of day, I pastor Merritt Assembly of God on 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. And we do not believe in accidents. We don't believe in chance. We believe in God's providence. And I believe that you have been chosen to be tuned into this radio station for such a time as this. We have been talking about Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus said that we are the light of the world. Now you say, wait a minute, I thought Jesus said he was the light of the world. Well, he did say that. He said that in John chapter 8. But in John or Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." America is supposed to be a beacon of liberty to the world. It is not supposed to be a land of oppression. It is not supposed to be a land of dictatorships or anything. And I will tell you something else. It's not supposed to be a land of godlessness. It is not supposed to be a land of lawlessness. It is a land of opportunity. It is a land of freedom where we are free to serve God to the best of our ability. So I pray that you have a great day. I got into Psalm 43 on yesterday's program, and I basically got to the very first clause, "Vindicate me, O God." And so I want to go back and read Psalm 43. It's a parallel psalm or a partner psalm to Psalm 42. So you can go back and read those together. But let me read Psalm 43 again. And today I'm not going to do an exposition of the entire psalm. I'll try and stay focused on the topic at hand today of "You are the light of the world." "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." There are several things that we need to talk about where it concerns light in this passage of Scripture. Verse number 3 says, "O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me, let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God to my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. So there is a connection. Light does not exist apart from other elements in God's kingdom. It exists in partnership with them. Righteousness and truth go together. Light and truth go together. They're connected and they have purpose. And when there is light and truth in an individual's life, and in this case, this Psalm 42 says it was written by the sons of Korah. So I'm assuming that Psalm 43 was also written by the sons of Korah, because in 42:5 and in 42:11 and 43:5, there's a repetition of the phrase, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." They just naturally flow together. Wherever the light and truth exist, we're going to find that there are some benefits that happen. So if light and truth are happening in a church, you're going to see some breakthroughs that are happening. Some people want to walk in light, but they don't want to walk in truth. There are people who want to walk in freedom, but they don't want to walk in accordance with God's word. It is very, very important for us to be students of God's word. We need to find out what God has to say about the situation. If not, everybody's going to be doing what is right in their own eyes. That's kind of where we are in America right now. We have a number of people, a large percentage of America, that claims to be Christian, but yet they suffer from biblical illiteracy. They don't know what the Bible says. When I was growing up, the first verse that people memorized when they were in children's church was, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's John 3:16. Now, in this society, the only verse that many people know and they don't understand the context of it is, "Judge not lest you be judged." We just talked about judgment on yesterday's program. And so I encourage you, if you want to have a little bit more insight into whether or not God is in the judging business, he actually is in the judgment business. There is, you know, I remember seeing a phrase that in an airport one time that a person had was displaying, let's put it that way, and it said, "No one can judge me but God," and that's kind of a defiant statement. It's like, you're not in a position to judge me, and I just wanted to go up and ask that person, well, what standard do you think that God is going to use? Is it going to be your standard? Is it going to be my standard? Is it going to be God's standard? And the truth of the matter is, God does have standards. There are things that please him, things that don't please him. And to think that there is not going to be a day of judgment, and if there's a day of judgment, there is a day of accountability. There is a reward for obedience, and there are consequences for disobedience. So, you know, if you don't want me judging you, that's fine. I'm okay with that. I've got plenty of things on my plate that keep me busy. I've got to keep myself under scrutiny. I've got to continue to discern the will of God for Merit Assembly of God and all that. So if you don't want me as an authority in your life speaking into your life truth and light, then I'm okay with that. But please, you need someone. And that's why I'm constantly telling people here, look, you do not need to be isolated. You do not need to be a spiritual lone wolf. You need to be part of a body of Christ, because it is easy for us to deceive ourselves. And I talked a little bit about self-deception in my own life on yesterday's program. You can tune in to that. So light and truth are connected, and when there is light, where there is truth, you're also going to find that there is joy, and there are several things that are removed from a person's existence whenever we allow these principles of God, these provisions of God, to operate in our life. So let me set the stage. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. There was an adversarial relationship that had developed, and so they were appealing to God to be their attorney, their advocate, and they said, God, you plead our case for us, and you will never find a better attorney than Jesus Christ. Make sure that he represents you well. You can't buy his services. He only represents family. He only represents those who have asked him to be the Lord of their life and for him to forgive them of their sins and for them to walk in covenant relationship with the Heavenly Father. And then he represents you before the throne of grace. Now, there's a prosecutor. His name is Satan, and he knows your case very well. He knows everything that you've done, everything that you've ever thought. He knows those things you've done in public and those things you've done in secret, those things that you've done in light and those things that you've done in darkness. He's very good. You need an attorney that's better than him. You need Jesus in your life. And Jesus wants to represent you, and not so that you will be declared not guilty, but that you will be declared forgiven. And that the record is completely expunged because Jesus paid the price for your sin. He says, oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust nation, for you are the God of my strength. Okay? So let me just talk about the first thing. Whenever light comes, darkness flees. Light comes, darkness leaves. I don't know where it goes. I don't know how long it takes to get there, but I love it when light comes into the situation and darkness says, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. Darkness is simply the absence of light. And when light shows up, darkness is gone. And so the psalmist says, oh, send out your light in your truth. And when God does that, when he dispatches light into your situation, darkness is going to be waving goodbye. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So that's the first. We're going to deal with a series of D's today. I don't believe you want to be kept in the dark. In America right now, we're kind of like in an information hyperloop, if you will. I mean, information is coming at you nonstop. There is so much information, and it's increasing every day. And people, they will tell you this, they do not want to be kept uninformed. Now, I will tell you this, walking by faith in God does not mean that you have all of the answers. Walking by faith says, I have walked with God enough to know that I can trust him, that I can walk with him, and he's going to lead me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. I can trust him even when I don't have all the information. Right now, there are people on both sides of the political aisle, and they distrust the other side. I told a person in a business establishment this a couple of weeks ago. I said, I want you to know something. Our church is praying for America. All you've got to understand is that Jesus made this one statement: a house divided against itself cannot stand. He was specifically saying that when they were accusing him of casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. He is like, that you don't understand, a house, even if it's the devil's house, if there's division in that house, it will not stand. Husband and a wife that are divided against themselves, that house is not going to stand. One generation pitted against another generation, that house will not stand. A nation that is divided against itself, it cannot stand. Division is meant by the enemy to destroy. And when there is so much distrust and division, there's an insistence on having all of the information. And I have of this persuasion. I was under this persuasion under every president, and that is this: I trust that they know more about the circumstances than I do. That doesn't necessarily mean that I trust them personally, but it means that I trust that they have more information than what I'm at. It took me a number of years to come to this understanding, and that is this: just because a person asks me a question doesn't mean that they're entitled to an answer. If a person asks me an inappropriate question about my wife, that doesn't mean that they're entitled to an answer about that. The same thing with my kids. The same thing with a church. You can ask the question, and it took me a long time. It took God. I'm slow to understand at times, but it took him literally decades to get me to the place and say, you know what, that's a really good question, and if you were entitled to an answer, I'd give it to you, but I'm not gonna give you that answer. That's none of your business. I'm not being rude. I'm not being mean or anything like that. But just because a journalist asks a question does not mean that they're entitled to an answer. They're just, you know, they're doing their job, but they may not be privy to that information. There's classified information. There's top secret and all of those different classifications. And you don't want all of that stuff public. So when light comes in, darkness goes out the window. If you cannot trust someone unless you have all of the information, then you need to work on that relationship to build the trust to say, you know what? We need to come to the place where even if I don't know all of the answers, or even if you don't know all of the answers, you still trust that I've got your best interest at heart. Okay, let's move on to the second. It says, oh, send out your light and your truth, so when light comes, darkness flees. And when truth comes, what it says in verse number one is, oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. When truth comes, deception leaves. You see, many times people will try and get you to disprove a lie. The only way that you can disprove a lie is to live the truth. And so Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I've met a number of people. They had different philosophies, but their credentials didn't rise up to the same level as Jesus' credentials. And they're saying, you're going to build a whole doctrine on six words. No, I'm not building a doctrine just on six words. I believe what Jesus said. And when he says he is the truth, then I'm going to believe him. When he says that there is no other way to the Father except for by him, I trust his experience, I trust his credentials, and I realize that he knows what he's talking about. The Bible talks about specifically in the last days that there would be deceiving spirits whose sole purpose is to give misinformation and false information and lie through their spiritual teeth, if you will, to keep people believing a lie. And when the truth comes, all of a sudden, all of that deception loses its power. Okay? You've got to understand, Satan, Jesus said that Satan is the father of lies. If you want to speak his native tongue, that's what Jesus said. He said, when he lies, he speaks his native tongue. He's fluent in deception. He's able to do it quite well. But the native tongue of heaven is truth, eternal truth. And we, as children of the Most High God, when truth comes in the situation, deception is it's lost its power, And all of a sudden, truth comes shining forth. I need to move on. I've got two more things. Light dispels darkness. Truth takes care of deception. And it says, oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill. The third D that I want to talk to you about today is direction. Light and truth combine to bring direction to people's lives. There are too many people who are just wandering through life aimlessly with no purpose, no strategy. I was watching a golf tournament here a couple of weeks ago. I didn't get to watch the whole golf tournament. I just got to watch a few holes of it. And the guy who had the lead ended up blowing a big lead, and somebody who was well behind ended up coming back and winning the golf tournament. And they were saying that the direction and the focus of those two individuals had to be different that day. One of them succeeded and the other one did not. The one went out and tried to protect his lead and was not able to do that. The other person said, I've got to go out there and I've got to meet this goal by this point in the round. I need to meet this goal. And they had done it before, and so that they knew that they could do it again. They said the strategy that person that was in the lead, they said they needed to say, okay, in this three-hole stretch, this is what I want to accomplish. And in this three-hole stretch, this is what does God want you to accomplish? Right now, you might not have any health issues. What does God want you to accomplish when you're not sick? Right now, you might not have any financial issues. What does God want you to accomplish when you don't have any financial problems? You say, I'm young, I've got all sorts of strength, but I may not have a lot of experience. What does God want you to accomplish during that stage? And on the opposite side of the equation, those things may not be your reality. Your reality may be diametrically opposed to that, but God still has goals for you. Right now, you may be up to your ears in bills. What does God want you to accomplish? Because he is sending forth light and truth into your life to break and destroy bad habits and provide direction for you and I so that we can accomplish the God-given goals that he has for us. Okay? And one of those goals, the primary goal, the first thing that needs to be in order when light and truth comes, it says, let them lead me, let them bring me to your holy hill. Listen, if the direction that you are getting in your life is taking you away from the house of God, away from the word of God, and away from the people of God, you are being led astray, not led God's way. Okay? One of the things that you determine is when you are being led is, am I being led the way that God wants to lead me? Is he leading me like a shepherd? Is God going with me on this journey? Or am I being led like sheep to the slaughter instead? Listen, the world wants to lead you. The Bible talks about people, there'd be like a ring put in their nose and they would be drugged. They would be led away into captivity. God wants to lead us into freedom to accomplish the purposes of God. And so I just want you to do a little navigational assessment right now and say, am I being led into something? Am I being led into the presence of God, or am I being led away from the presence of God? Am I being led to a deeper walk with God or a more shallow walk with God? Am I being led into the right here and now, or am I being led into eternity? Okay. One more thing. It says, let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy. on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. There was one more thing that was talked about in verse number 2. It says, why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And I want you to know that instead of depression and distress, when God's light and God's truth comes, there is joy. There is joy that overpowers discontentment. There is, Paul said, I've learned the secret. He said he'd experienced both. He said, I have learned to be content with abundance, and when there was an insufficiency, but I learned that I could be content in whatever state God had me in at that point in time. Paul would write in another place that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Today, I want to let you know, God is not looking to make you and I miserable. He is looking to provide for us with his light, with his truth, and with his presence, an exceedingly great joy that exists even when there is oppression from the enemy that is very real. Too many people will try and get you to deny the reality of your problems. Look, God's not into denial of reality. He's looking to change that reality. He's looking to banish fear, and he's looking to bring you joy. Great, great joy. Joy that will overwhelm and overpower depression in your life. So let me just touch one more time in summary out of Psalm 43:3. God, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill, to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar to God, my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Light and truth are yours. They're provided by God specifically for you to rid you of darkness, rid you of deception, to provide for you direction, and provide for you a joy that will overpower any discontent or any depression that you may experience in your life. I want you to have the light and truth of God in your life. It is the best life you will ever live. God bless you. Have a great Independence Day. We'll catch you tomorrow right here on WMIE and the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.